Welcome to Upside Down Mirror, one woman's true story of a twin flame journey, a reflection of true love, true hate, and everything between, where everything and nothing matters at the same time. Shatter as mirrors of shadows cut through indestructible layers, testing the sands of time. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Upside Down Mirror, Episode 5. So, in Episode 4, I finally filed a restraining order against Gabe. I was able to meet up with Sean after 3 years. There wasn't much feeling there, partially because of how numb I was inside. And it just seemed like he was meant maybe to be a friend. There wasn't really any intense, intimate attraction there, or rather I should say, like an internal connection. Something else that I should note in reference to that whole experience when Sean came up, we were intimate together. And it had been, 3 years since I'd been with him. But what I noticed is his penis was rather small. It was a lot smaller than what I had remembered. I just remember thinking, wow, I don't know why I don't remember this, but he has quite a small penis. So that was partially one of the reasons why I was turned off. On the other hand, Gabe, his penis was rather large, much larger than the average size penis. So it is important that I note this in this podcast because this will come up later in reference to how paranormal things can get whenever you're going through this type of experience. So as you know, I had a restraining order against Gabe. I took some time off of work because I really needed it. I was barely eating. I was a mess. His energy was all over me. And I don't mean that by I was just thinking about him in my mind. His energy was literally all over me. As I breathed, I felt like I was breathing in his energy. If I sit down, I feel like I'm sitting in his energy. I'm sleeping in his energy. So I went on a Florida trip with one of my best friends. Her mom had a house in Amelia Islands. It was quite beautiful there. We were on the beach. We'd taken surfing lessons. And I remember being at the beach and there was a party there. And I remember thinking, okay, hopefully this will get my mind off of Gabe. And all of a sudden, I felt his energy once again. And I turned around and there was a huge sign across the beach that said www.gabe.com. True story. www.hisname.com. It was scuba diving equipment. And I was like floored. It was a huge sign that was basically saying, I'm here with you. I'm following you wherever you go. So of course, the rest of the trip, I thought about him. I tried to have as much fun as possible, and came home and started to resume my life and my practice. People in my practice were complaining about paranormal events that were going on, like dark energies that they were feeling in the practice, strange events with clients. The office that Gabe was in, we had replaced him with a psychiatric nurse practitioner. And, after a few months, this nurse practitioner literally started going crazy and doing things that were inappropriate and strange to the point where I had to let him go. And it just seemed as though the energy in this building was very draconian. And now that I'm looking back on it, I know and I understand what was going on, but when I was in the midst of it, I had no clue. The draconian energy is that duality. You know, it's when we think of light, it's the dark. It's the shadowy energy that we try to ignore. And when we try to ignore it, it comes through and it rears its ugly head. And it does so sometimes in very paranormal ways. As much as I was getting into my spiritual enlightenment, you know, the other side of that was the draconian showing itself full force. When I talk about the draconian energy, I want you to understand, because it's very important if you're going through something like this in your own life, that you can get an understanding of it. I know that it's years later, and my ability to reflect back on this is so much different than my ability to see it while it was happening. The draconian energy is that reptilian energy or demonic energy or the Illuminati energy that people are referring to. But really what it is, it's all about the aspects of you that think you need to be in the ego. So the parts of you that think that you're unlovable or think you're not worthy. It's like this energy kind of tests you out to see how far you will go to be loved. It's like your own test. You know, if we do get into the center of our heart and we completely unconditionally love ourselves, then the draconian energy is unable to come in. It comes in through our own insecurities. And when you're in a venture, when your goal is to have a successful twin flame relationship and you put that intention out there, this quote unquote false twin flame stuff happens to purge this draconian stuff. Because when it comes to your true twin flame, and that's the part of you that's centered, you too have a humanitarian purpose for the world. And if you're not completely in a space where you unconditionally love yourself, then you're unable to help the rest of the world. So I look back and I understand that this was all part of the process, but it seemed to be rather painful. So it's really good, I think, even before trying to manifest a twin flame, that you really, really work on self-love. It all boils down to that. So there was definitely energies around me that seemed like I had horrible luck in my life. You know, one thing was going wrong after another. You know, I just felt sick all the time. You know, I was full of grief, constantly dreaming and thinking about Gabe. I was completely spellbound by him. I mean, it was like I did not feel complete unless he was around, no matter what he did to me. However, I knew that he was unhealthy. So I, you know, refrained from contacting him. And, you know, 6 months went by before I even heard from him. At that time, the restraining order was up because it was a 6-month restraining order. And I had a dream that he texted me and he needed my help. I woke up, looked at my phone, and he texted me and he needed help. He said in his text that he was evicted from his apartment and he had nowhere to go and he was standing on the side of the road. So of course, you know, I was right there. I went and I picked him up. He lived about an hour away. When I picked him up, I was completely in shock. His skin was leather. And he started showing me, "Rebecca, I don't know what's going on here. My skin's turning to leather." It was so paranormal. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I was just like, "Do you want to go to the hospital?" And he said, "No, this isn't anything to do with me going to the hospital." And he proceeded to tell me that he was being attacked by alien forces, being microchipped. And at that time, you know, this was years ago, you know, about 8 years ago. And I've know so much more now than what I know and what I knew then. And I understand, like, he was really going through some stuff. But at that time I was just like, didn't know whether he was crazy or not or what was going on, but there was certainly the fact that his skin was turning leather. So I took him to a hotel and he stayed there for a couple of days and I stayed with him. You know, he was constantly trying to figure out ways to get these attachments off of him. I mean, he was washing his skin with bleach, drinking a ton of rum to try to drown out the voices and these entities that he said were attacking him. I eventually took him back to my house because my kids weren't there, but I told him he could only stay a couple days because my kids were coming back from staying at their father's house. So when he was at my house, he unplugged everything, even down to the cables that were outside. You know, it was a big mess. I couldn't figure out how to connect my TV for a long time. The electric was messed up. You know, he was unplugging all of my electrical outlets. Once again, washing his skin with bleach, walking outside in the woods, trying to find portals to go through to get back to his old reality. You know, it was a handful. And what is really odd about that whole situation is, I'm going to be quite honest with you, I was still so spellbound by that draconian energy and all the tantra that we had done that like all I could think about was being intimate with him. And I remember even asking him, oh, do you think you feel up to being intimate? And he was like, what? I'm being attacked. And I don't even remember if we were or we weren't, but I do remember thinking, wow, that's crazy that that's all I can think about in a situation like this. But now I understand it. Like I said, I was completely spellbound by him or whatever was around him trying to pull me in. So a couple days later, he got in his car, told me he was going to drive to the West Coast to Santa Barbara to see his brother. And I never knew if I would ever see him again. When I was taking care of Gabe, I can tell you I 100% unconditionally loved him. And what I noticed is when I was giving him this unconditional love, no matter what he was going through, he seemed to always get in a different space relatively soon after being around me. So within those few days with me treating him and unconditionally loving him and really caring about him, I noticed that his skin completely healed. It was no longer leather. It was like he was turning into a reptile, and with unconditional love, it just all went away. There is one thing that he told me while he was at my house that I think is interesting that I want to mention, and that is he told me that during those months that him and I were apart, that he meditated to be right near me again. And I remember feeling that same way. Like I talked to you earlier, it was like his energy was really on me. It wasn't like I'm thinking about him and I'm missing him. It was like he was right beside me the whole entire time. So he had the ability to just think about me and project his energy onto me. So that connection that we had was very, very, very real. And it was extremely hard to disconnect from, no matter what my logical mind said. So his journey to California was quite interesting because he was calling a lot of people that he knew, like his brother and his friend that was a lawyer, saying that he was being attacked by psychotronics. And of course, they were contacting me and just very concerned about him. You know, we didn't know if he would successfully reach the West Coast or not. However, he did. And of course, in my mind, all I remember thinking is, are we going to see each other again? Is this the end of our relationship? You know, is he okay? What's going to happen? So a couple months went by and he was staying at his brother's house. Same things going on. His brother spent a tremendous amount of time and energy trying to get Gabe hospitalized, but he could fool any psychiatrist. I mean, he fooled top psychiatrists at the university that he was going to. So there was no way he was being hospitalized, you know, attempt after attempt, you know, it was unsuccessful. Around this time, Gabe reached out to me saying that he would only respond to me in order to get help. So if I wanted him to get help, I had to come myself and see him. So of course, I was definitely going to do it because I really love this man. I went to Santa Barbara and picked Gabe up. He was waiting there for me and immediately took him to a hotel so him and I could stay together. Well, let's just say I was very concerned about Gabe at this time. You know, he was extremely obsessed about his penis. He kept saying that his penis shrank, his penis shrank. He was like in the mirror looking at his penis in shock, saying it shrank. And he was having difficulty sustaining an erection. So I just figured, you know, it was because he was unable to get erect and that is why his penis shrank. But he was quite obsessed about it, talking about the microchips in his teeth, looking at the people on the side of the road saying they're not real. Everybody is a minion. Everybody's programmed. Everybody's controlled. Why can't anybody see this? There are these dark entities trying to attach to the world. You know, he didn't feel safe. I was really concerned about him. Now that I look back, you know, a lot of his story seems to add up with some of the events that I've learned about since then. But at the time, I was, like I said, I wasn't prepared to deal with all of this. So I contacted his brother and we made a plan for him to go into the psychiatric hospital once again. I thought maybe with my testimony and my background that I would be helpful. We admitted him. He stayed there for about a day, talked his way out of it again. Very angry at me at this point because I admitted him to the hospital. And his brother suggested that we just let him go to a homeless shelter and that maybe if he hits rock bottom, he will, you know, get help. So literally the day that he was supposed to go to the homeless shelter, I remember thinking there was no way I'm going to let him go. I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to take care of him because I truly love this man. His brother took me to this lake like hours away. He said, you know, I want you to go to this lake with us. We're going to go boating. Then you can come back this afternoon and do whatever you want to do. However, his brother and his mother had full-heartedly decided that the only way for Gabe to get back to normal was to be homeless, and they absolutely did not want me to save him. So I ended up being a few hours late, and it just seemed like everything worked out because literally when I pulled up to the homeless shelter, the bus had just dropped him off, and he was standing there with his shoes, and I picked him up. I had a life to live. I had kids. So I dropped him off at a hotel and I told him I'd be back in a few weeks. I remember paying for the hotel for him. And fortunately, it just seemed like things were aligning. But now that I look back on it, you know, they were aligning in a way that overall did not benefit me, but more benefited the draconian side of me. My teacher at the time, the one that I had worked for, where I was teaching, because she had owned her own practice. It's like she was a mind reader because she said, Rebecca, I really want you to teach here more often. I'm going to pay you this certain amount of money. It was like a beautiful golden opportunity because I would have to get an apartment there. You know, an apartment near the beach in Santa Monica sounds like a dream come true. And I remember thinking, that's what I'll do. I will get an apartment here. Gabe will live there. And I'll come back and forth. I'll teach in California. I'll work in Maryland. And, you know, I'll have my cake and eat it too, basically. I'll be able to go home, see my kids, be a good mother, come back, visit Gabe, try to get him healthy, etc. So I was dead set on getting an apartment. When I came back 3 weeks later, I picked up Gabe and immediately we went apartment hunting. It took about a week and a half, but I finally manifested an apartment in Santa Monica. It was right near the beach. It was beautiful, inexpensive. It seemed like a dream come true. You know, I spent time there teaching and working out and doing yoga and coming back and seeing Gabe. And Gabe had went through quite a transition when I was gone. He was still talking to himself. However, it seemed like whatever energies were bombarding him seemed to let up. And out came this man that was completely different than the old Gabe. This new man looked at me and said, "The most important thing in life is family. All I want to do is have a family. I just want to be with you, Rebecca. It doesn't matter if I'm here. It doesn't matter where we are. I just want to be with you." During that time, it was completely different sexually. He was really unable to get erect. And when he did, it wasn't for very long. His penis certainly did shrink. And I just remember thinking, if I could have put the two together, that would have been great. Because the new Gabe, he was massaging my back, doing my laundry, wanted to ride tandem bikes together while he was on the back of the tandem bike massaging my back, holding my hand, walking down the pier, kissing me constantly, taking care of me, going shopping for me. It was so different than the old Gabe. The old Gabe never would have done my laundry, never would have, I mean, he was ironing my laundry. He would never would have ironed my laundry. And I remember thinking, wow, like he's really into me. And this soft side came out. You know, he loved nature. You know, he was staring at the ocean for hours, sitting on the sand, very romantic. We would watch Netflix together, make dinner. You know, he still seemed very distracted. And oftentimes when I was around him, I felt lonely because of how distracted he was. But I was just extremely grateful to have this soft side of Gabe come out. It was really confusing, but I was going to take it. You know, the old Gabe, if we would walk past a tree that he didn't know about, or if we talked about a subject he didn't know about, would immediately research it. He was always a go-getter, figured out things, you know, extremely creative. He persevered. That's one of the things I'd really liked about him. The new Gabe went to the bookstore, bought a book, and could not read the whole book. I noticed it. He could read a couple pages and he'd put it down. He had the inability to read a book because his attention span was very low. He had low motivation. It seemed like if I gave him a task to do, if I said, "We have to do this," he would completely work for me to do that task, but he would not do anything for himself. He was completely unmotivated, but yet very much into us spending time together. He was really into being in the moment, and especially being in the moment with me. So when I was on the East Coast, I was very honest with my children. They had never personally met Gabe, but they had known I was dating somebody. And I told them, you know, when I'm gone for the couple weeks on the West Coast, I'm teaching, but I'm also helping this person out. So, you know, I was very, very, very honest with my family. You know, my kids trusted me. However, my sisters and my mom and my friends pretty much thought I had lost my mind. They did not know why I was still continuing to help this man. Meanwhile, Sean was, you know, messaging me here and there on Facebook. And I would have moments where I really missed him. And I was like, you know, I remember thinking I should really have Sean here in Santa Monica with me. You know, he seems like such a good guy. But then quickly I would go back and just think about Gabe again. So Sean was periodically reaching out to me. We had really nice conversations. He even sent me a gift in the mail, which I really, really appreciated. My teacher in Santa Monica was very much into like witchcraft. I mean, I was shocked because she seemed like, you know, she taught about working in the light a lot, but, you know, she'd go to Hollywood and pick up a lot of things that she would say her, like the things she needed for her craft. So she tended to dabble in a little bit of the dark stuff as well, which, you know, I was surprised. You know, looking back on it, I don't judge that, but she was very interested in the relationship between Gabe and I. You know, she started saying, "Hey, do you want me to work on the fact that you two can't have a child together?" And you know, the new Gabe I saw, even though he was seemed a little depressed, I just remember thinking he needs to, you know, he's went through a lot. Basically, his license got revoked. He didn't really care about his license getting revoked. You know, he was a different person. He didn't care about being a doctor anymore. He didn't even really care about working. You know, he just wanted to be in the here and now. He wanted to walk on the ocean. He wanted to, or walk near the ocean. He wanted to enjoy life moment by moment. So, you know, I remember thinking that was really healthy and that's really good. Like I said, we had a very interesting sex life at that point. It wasn't near like we had before. I was basically just taking what I could get, you know, dealing with a penis that probably shrunk about 10 times. And I am not exaggerating with that. He even knew it did. I wasn't sure what was going on there. I thought it was just part of an erectile dysfunction. So, yeah, I was like, okay, you know, this one thing that this man wanted was a child with me. He was saying that family is the most important thing for him. Nothing mattered, not his MD, nothing. He just wanted a family. And he was so docile, so gentle at this point. He would have never dreamed of hurting me, this new Gabe. So I said, yeah, let's work on this. And she said, okay, for his libido issues, you know, you might want to give him some maca and I'll work on him and you with these belief systems. And he even went to her office and he did some work for her and she worked on him. And the next thing I know, I'm pregnant. By this time, it was the year 2013. And Gabe, he had told me about 6 months earlier when I first picked him up and brought him to my house, he had confessed to me that one of the reasons that he was trying to get me pregnant was because the doctors told him he couldn't impregnate a woman. Him and his ex-wife, that was one of the issues they had, is they were unable to have children because he couldn't get a woman pregnant. And she was actually really shocked that he was dating someone with children. That was one of the first things she said to me is, "You have children?" So I knew that was one of their major issues, is the inability to get pregnant. But he told me he just didn't want to have a child with her when I asked him, because he had been trying to get me pregnant ever since he met me. So, you know, he told me that he had some sort of genetic disorder where it would be very, very difficult for him to get a woman pregnant. So when my teacher did this work on us and I got pregnant, he was very happy. I was very happy. I went home and told my family. And the way that my family is, they're very old-fashioned. Once you get pregnant, they will try to accept the man. You know, so they went from absolutely despising this man, you know, for good reason, to planning a trip to California to meet him, as well as vacation. So in 2013, my whole entire family went to California. We rented a beautiful house on the beach. Gabe came, met them. He was a little awkward. I remember them thinking he was strange, but it seemed like everybody got along. He treated me well. You know, he put his hand on my stomach and would say, you know, "I'm so excited to have this little one." You know, it seemed like everything was starting to look up. My teacher, the one that I was working for, the one that I was teaching for in Santa Monica, she was super excited, saying, "Good, now you're going to bring the baby to visit us when you come here." You know, she didn't even think about the fact that Gabe might move to the East Coast. You know, she was certain that he was going to stay on the West Coast. And believe it or not, we didn't really plan for him to move to the East Coast. I don't know why I didn't feel 100% that that was the thing to do. But during my pregnancy, I was still planning to keep him on the West Coast and me on the East Coast. So I was about 9 weeks pregnant and I was on the East Coast and I went to this holistic fair in Pennsylvania. And I'd always done really well with shielding myself. So when I was at the holistic fair, I was sitting there and two healers came up to me and they told me not to work on this man that would be asking me to work on him, that he had something really dark attached to him and it would be dangerous if I worked on him. And I just remember kind of looking at them like they were paranoid. Well, sure enough, he came up to me and his eyes were really wide. He was very scared. He said, "There's something attached to me. It's extremely dark. I can't get it off. I'm really scared. Can you please help me?" It was like it just happened to him at the fair or something. And I said, "Okay, sit down, sit down." And I closed my eyes and I connected. And I remember seeing these bat wings with holes. You know, I decided it was safe to work on him. I thought, you know, I can protect myself. So I'd seen these bat wings with holes. And there, it was very ancient, dark, dark energy that I had felt. And I said to him, I was like, "Oh yeah, there's definitely dark energy there." So I did energy work. I removed the darkness from him. He got up and he left and I had to go to the bathroom, went to the bathroom and right then started bleeding. And that's a big sign of a miscarriage. So I went to the hospital in Pennsylvania and I was miscarrying. So whatever energy that was literally took the soul away that was planning to come through. Little did I know that this would be an energy that I would be meeting again in the future. I'm going to stop right here, and I look forward to you joining me in episode 6 of Upside Down Mirror. Thank you.